Such a blessing to hear the singing of the hymns today. During the times when we were streaming, Bill came and Kevin came, and I had to be very careful because I was sitting so close to them. I was afraid if I sang too loud, I would pull them off. And so it's good to have quite a few more of us here tonight singing, and this morning as well, and worshiping the Lord. Singing is just an important part of worship, isn't it? God's people love to sing. It's a part of praise. And as Bill was singing that hymn just now, the first hymn, I thought of that scripture where the psalmist David said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, O Lord, my soul panteth after thee." And may God, the Holy Spirit, give us that desire, and may he breathe upon us in a special way even this evening. If you will, let's turn to John chapter 10. This is actually the second message that I prepared for tonight. I pray the Lord will bless his word. Very simple message as always. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf scattereth them, or catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." The psalmist David, in probably the best psalm that is known, said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But in these verses that I've just read, we have David's shepherd, the good shepherd, speaking. And he's speaking of his sheepfold and also of his sheep. And I intend, by God's grace, to point out four truths tonight to us about the sheepfold. And then I want us to look at the statement of our Lord in verse 10. But first, here are four truths about the sheepfold. The first truth, God has one sheepfold. What is a sheepfold? You might hear that word and have some vague idea as to what it is, but what is a sheepfold? Well, to say the very basic, to give the very basic definition, a sheepfold at that time was some kind of enclosure. It was some kind of enclosure. Many of them were made of rocks, but it served a purpose to separate. It separated the sheep from those outside. In the daytime, the sheep and the shepherd, of course, they would be out feeding, pasturing on the hills and wherever the shepherd would lead them. But then in the evening, at night, the shepherd would bring them back into the sheepfold, and it was very important because it served to protect, to keep safe the sheep as long as they were in the sheepfold. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ may be compared to a sheepfold because the church also is separated from the world. It serves to separate God's sheep from the world. The Lord's sheep are brought into the church, and we're brought into the church for our safety. There's nothing, or I cannot think of any animal more defenseless than a sheep. A sheep. And that's the animal that God chose to use to picture His people, to picture you and me and all of His children as sheep, defenseless. And so He has provided for us in a sheepfold under shepherds for our protection, for our safety, for our keeping, to keep us, to keep the sheep from the evil. And my point is simply this: the Lord Jesus Christ has only one sheepfold. If you notice in verse 16, we read just a few minutes ago, look down to verse 16, the Lord spoke of His having sheep among the Gentiles, who He said must. If you look at the word must in the Gospel of John, that's a very interesting study. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I must preach the gospel to other villages. And here, He tells us in this verse that He had other sheep. Notice, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. He's speaking there of His sheep among the Gentiles. Remember, He told that Syrophoenician woman who came to Him seeking help for her daughter, I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the Lord Jesus Christ had sheep among the nation of Israel, yes, but also among the Gentile nations. Of another, as He said, I have sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Now notice, and there shall be one fold. One fold, one sheepfold. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, the writer here speaking of believers, New Testament believers. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The sheepfold, when compared to a church, a place that separates from the world, God's sheep from the world, there's only one sheepfold. The Lord Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build not my churches, not my churches, but I will build my church. Now, the Bible does speak of churches, plural, doesn't it? These are local churches, just like our church here is a local church. But all of the sheep who are brought into this local church are saved by the grace of God. We are also part of what I would call His sheepfold, His universal sheepfold. There's one sheepfold, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has one sheepfold. Second, God's sheepfold has one door. Verse 7, our Lord said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. They're not two, they're not three, but only one door into the sheepfold. Now, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, proclaimed to the Jews who would climb up some other way. You see, our Lord said, anyone who would come up another way is a thief and a robber. Anyone who does not enter by the door. There's one door. Jesus Christ is the one door into the sheepfold. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, for a person to try to enter the sheepfold in some other way marks that person, brands that person. A person who tries to enter into the sheepfold, into the Lord's church in some other way than through the door, the one door, that person or persons are branded, they are marked as thieves and robbers. What do they try to steal? What do they steal? They attempt to steal the Lord's glory, His glory, that He is the one door, the one way of salvation, the one mediator between God and man. Any other way of salvation but through the person and work of Jesus Christ is man's attempt to rob God, to rob Christ, rather, of His glory. Now, baptism. Baptism is important. I would not say a word against baptism or to make light of baptism. It is a means that the Lord has given us whereby we may publicly, if Christ has saved us, if we're looking to Christ as our Lord and Savior, then publicly we may confess in the waters of baptism that we are trusting in Him and His gospel, which is pictured through baptism. The Lord's Supper, we will not say a word belittling the Lord's Supper. Both of these church ordinances, they are very, very important in their places. In their places. But if they are put into the place of Christ, the door. In other words, if a person believes that it's through baptism or it's through observing the Lord's Supper that we may enter into the sheepfold, then we have done despite to these two ordinances. Anything and everything in the place of Christ is a thief and a robber. In Pilgrim's Progress, you remember, there was someone or some two, I believe, who climbed over the fence and got into the way. You remember that, don't you? I do not remember their name. It may have been presumption. But he jumped over the wall, climbed over the wall, and got into the way. And he ran on ahead of Pilgrim, didn't he? But it wasn't long before he had turned and was headed back. Why? Because he had entered in an illegitimate way. He tried to enter into the way to the celestial city other than through Christ, who is the door, the one door. The third thing I would say about the sheepfold, God's sheepfold is, now listen, for His sheep. His sheep. Notice in verses 3 and 4, two times in these verses, He says His own sheep. His own sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's impossible for me to see how the Lord Jesus Christ could be called a shepherd if he had no sheep. If I introduced myself to you, we had not known each other, and I said, I'm a race car driver. And you asked me, well, do you own a race car? And I said, no. Have you ever driven a race car? No. Have you ever been in a race car? No. You're a fraud. You're not a race car driver. And for anyone to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is a shepherd who had no sheep, and these sheep were given unto him. Notice, if you will, down in verses 24 through 30. We didn't read these verses, but notice when he was speaking to the Jews, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, why was it they did not believe? Because they were not of his sheep. The shepherd has sheep which were given unto him. Let's read on here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is great. Notice, my Father which gave them me. Yes, he's a shepherd, and yes, he has sheep, and yes, these sheep were given unto him by the Father. And notice back there in verses 4 and 5 again where we read his own sheep, what he says about his own sheep. Are you one of his sheep? You say, well, how can I know that? Well, here's how you can know this. Very clear. Very clear here in verses 4 and 5. His own sheep hear his voice. Now, what does this mean? We hear his sheep hear his voice. His sheep hear the gospel. Hear the gospel. Now, these that he spoke to and said, you are not of my sheep, they didn't hear the gospel. Now, they heard it with their ears. Yes, they heard the words. The disciples asked our Lord one day, why is it that you speak unto the people in parables? And remember what he said? Because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them it is not known. His sheep hear his voice. And not only do we hear his voice, he calls his own sheep by name. Now, when you listen to a man like myself preaching, when God blesses his word through an under-shepherd, God's sheep hear his voice. And what we hear is, that's the truth. That's the gospel. I used to say, and I might say it again sometime, but his sheep hear his voice when the voice of the shepherd through the preaching of the gospel says, sinner, sinner, his sheep hear. Those who are not his sheep, they don't hear. They don't hear that voice. And they begin with all kinds of excuses and all kinds of ideas as to why that doesn't apply to them. They're too good. Oh, they've made some mistakes. There's no doubt about that. No one's perfect. But God's sheep hear his voice. He calls them by name. Sinner, that's me. That's me. He's talking to me. Now, if a person said, well, I'm not a sinner, well, he's not talking to you. I remember a preacher years ago illustrating this by a man crossing the desert, and you could hear him coming. He was coming with several camels, I believe it was, and he had water cans on those camels, and they were just clanging together and clanging together, and he cries out, water! Water! And someone hears him, and they say, I'm not thirsty. I'm not speaking to you. I'm not speaking to you. No. I'm speaking to those who are thirsty. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and drink. Yes, his sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. And notice he leads his own sheep out. Out of what? Out of whatever he finds his sheep in. Most of us here tonight, I believe if we would confess this and gave a testimony, we would have to say he found us in false religion. That's where we were, in works religion, trusting in our will and our decision and whatever else, but works religion. And we heard his voice. Others, no doubt, others heard the same messages, the same preachers, and they continued on defending free will works religion. But somehow, by the grace of God, he led his sheep out. Out of the cesspool of sin, he leads his people out. We don't continue. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And where does he lead? He leads us out. Wherever he finds us, he leads us out of that. And where does he lead us? Into the green pastures. The Word of God. His Word. And fourth, God's sheepfold claims, now listen, God's sheepfold claims the good, the great, and the chief shepherd. As a good shepherd, notice in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, how good he is. How good he is. Seeing us polluted in our blood, and yet when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Read that passage there in Romans chapter 5. For whom did Christ die? He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. If he died for those who had no strength. He's a good shepherd. But he's not only the good shepherd. Let's look at these other places. Turn with me first to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. He's the great shepherd. Now the God of peace, Hebrews 13 verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That covenant that was made in eternity past, in which Christ stood as a surety of his sheep who were given to him. That blood of the everlasting covenant, his blood, ratified, sealed that covenant. And notice in 1 Peter, turn over a few more pages, he's not only the good shepherd and the great shepherd, but he's a chief shepherd. And of course, this is used among under shepherds, but let's read it here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What is this crown of glory? This crown of glory that he will give each and every one of his sheep is that eternal happiness prepared for God's redeemed sheep. Now I want to speak from the Lord's words back in our chapter 10 of John, for just a few minutes from his words in verse 10. I am come. Why did he come? Why did he come? I am come that they, his sheep, might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. One of the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Psalms goes like this: I restored that which I took not away. We should tonight recognize that in Adam, who was our head and representative, we lost much. We did. We lost much when he disobeyed God. We lost much in our head and in our representative. But in Christ, who is our head and representative, we receive more abundantly. More abundantly. Three things here. Three things. First of all, life. Life. I am come that they might have life. When Adam disobeyed God and us in him, he had been warned that he would die the day that he ate that forbidden fruit. He didn't die physically. We know that. He lived on for hundreds of years. It was spiritual life that he and we lost in Adam. And that made us subject to physical death. And also, it put us in a position of never again being able to obtain life through our works. Through our works. That was the first purpose. When God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, he put that cherubim with the flaming sword to keep the way to the tree of life. And that was to show Adam and to show you and to show me and to show all of Adam's posterity that it is an impossibility to obtain life by our works, by our doings. Christ, the Good Shepherd, has come that we might have life. It is through him that we are quickened, that his sheep are quickened into newness of life. Our Lord said, God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And when we are quickened and given new life, spiritual life, we have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with him. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And when a person is quickened, born of the Spirit of God, Christ said, I'm come that they might have life, spiritual life. And our fellowship is with the Father. Now, it is through Adam that physical death came into this world. But for his sheep, for you tonight, if you're one of his children, we're all going to die if the Lord doesn't come back in our lifetime. We're all going to die. But the sting of death has been removed for his people. Death to a child of God is not, physical death to a child of God is not punishment for our sins. Our sins have been punished in our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only punished, but put away. Put away. Death is like this porter our Lord spoke of in the parable. The porter who opened the door. And that's what death will be for a child of God and is for a child of God. It's just like we've seen these TV shows. I'm sure you've seen some of them, and days gone by, especially in England. And you have to wonder if that man just stood there all the time waiting for someone and he'd open the door for them. They'd go out and get in the car, he'd jump up and open the door for them. That's what death is to a child of God. Just a porter opening the door for us to enter into his presence. He has come that we might have eternal life. He said, I give unto them, notice that in verse 28, speaking of his sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Eternal life is not life that you have today and may lose tomorrow. That's not eternal life. Those so-called Christian religions that teach that a person may be saved and then lost, they have this in common. They all believe that salvation is by works. All of them. That's not what the Scripture says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Second, so first, the Good Shepherd came that we might have life. Second, righteousness. Christ came that we might have righteousness. It was innocence. Adam was innocent. He was innocent. We lost innocence in Adam. And any righteousness that we lost in Adam, it had to have been created righteousness. The righteousness that Christ came to give unto us is called the righteousness of God. His righteousness is the righteousness of God because he is God. There's several passages I had down, but for time's sake, I want you to turn back to Jeremiah just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 23. He has come that we might have righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 23. and verse 6. When you find that, I want you to turn over a few pages to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 23 and Jeremiah chapter 33. And we'll read these two together. The first one in chapter 23, verse 6. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. Now notice, and this is the name whereby he shall be called. Who is this? This is the shepherd. This is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. What is his name? The Lord our righteousness. That's his name. The Lord our righteousness. Now look over in chapter 33, verse 6. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong.
Verse 16, yes.
In those days, verse 16, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. You see, his name is the Lord our righteousness, and his righteousness is our righteousness. And our name is the Lord our righteousness. When a lady marries a man, she takes his name. And Christ in the Word of God is our husband. We, the church, are his bride, and we take his name. The third thing, and closing with this, he has come that we might have life, that we might have righteousness, paradise, paradise. Christ came that we might enjoy paradise. It was an earthly paradise that we lost in Adam. Christ came that we might enjoy his heavenly paradise. Remember the words to that thief who looked to Christ, who was being crucified that same day. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said unto him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Where did he go when he died that day upon the cross? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He went to paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. He went to paradise, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul speaks of paradise, him being caught up to the third heaven, to paradise. Yes, Christ came that we might enjoy paradise. In his prayer that is recorded in John chapter 17, near the end, he said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Where is he? He is at the Father's right hand. That's where we too shall be. And all to the praise and the glory of his grace. Anyone try to go any other way is a thief and a robber. And God has determined that he shall have the preeminence in all things, and he will not share his glory with another. I pray the Lord would bless his word to us here this evening. Now we're going to close our service singing hymn number 255, Blessed Assurance.